If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. And we'll read for our text, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 and going down to verse 6. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. This morning, during this 10 o'clock hour, I want us to consider the subject of questions from John about Jesus. Questions from John about Jesus. In order to get the full picture, we've got to consider what's happening here. In verse 2, we read it a moment ago, it says, Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Over in the gospel account of Luke, just kind of get a full picture here. Luke chapter 3. Verses 19 and 20. Tells us, But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. What happened was Herod Antipas had taken the wife of his brother Herod Philip from her husband and married her. Okay, now this was quite the scandalous thing that had taken place. It was wrong. It was wrong morally. It was wrong biblically. John, being preacher of righteousness, had reproved him for this and all his evils. And because he spoke out about it, because he was bold about it, because he had not kept his mouth shut about it, he got into trouble. He was put in prison. Mark well that persecution, trouble with authorities, does not always come because of breaking some law. Sometimes it comes just because you've taken a stand on the truth. And that's what happened with John. He had broken no law. He just simply stood on the truth. He had simply stood for what was right. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The more our country drifts into some weird stuff, the more morally bankrupt this nation becomes, the more of a reality it's going to be that some of us are going to get into trouble just on account that we stand on the Bible. I don't care what Congress does about marriage. They can redefine it every which way they want to. They can say what they will, but the fact remains, marriage will always be between a man and a woman, period. And some of us will get into trouble over that. I guarantee it. Well, John got into trouble over it. John had been telling folks, one is coming, and he'd been preaching and telling about Jesus. He had seen Jesus, and he had baptized, and all of, he was the forerunner. He was preparing the material, if you will, and all of those things. But now, John is in prison. In verse 2 of our text, in Matthew chapter 11, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? There in that prison was a different kind of a place than what we would experience in America. You see, in those days and in those times, there were no internet available. There was no televisions available. But he heard about the works of Christ. He heard the things that were going on outside of the four walls of that prison. How so? How did he hear? Well, I believe we get some clues in the previous chapters here. In Matthew chapter 9, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 31, the Bible says, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As a result of the healing ministry of Jesus, his fame was being spread abroad. People were talking about it. People were excited about what was happening. And no doubt that word, that message got spread near and far, even to the ears of John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. If you skip on down to verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Jesus had given specific directions to his apostles and told them, hey, you've got a message, go out and tell it. So that word was spread. It was being spread all over the place. John was hearing about it. And so chapter 11, Verse 2, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. You see, Matthew doesn't have to explain how he heard. It's implied. It's implied. The people had an exciting message to hear, to tell, and John heard it. He may not have been there to see it at that point, but he heard it. He heard it. And I ask you today, though we may be 2,000 years removed from this scenario, what about the people who aren't at your dinner table, who aren't in this room today? Do they hear the exciting works of Jesus? They may be in, not in some prison room like John, but they may be in a prison. A prison of doubt. A prison of discouragement. A prison of their own making. A prison of being trapped in Satan's world. How will they hear if our gospel be hid? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul's writing this not to the pastor of the church at Corinth, but he's writing this to the church at Corinth, you see. We've got a message to tell, even to those who may be blinded to the message, blinded to the truth, blinded to the reality, in a prison, so to speak. Not able to see it, but they can hear it. And we're the ones who can tell it. Well, John heard it. John heard it. And so he asked. He asked. Now, John was not like our lost neighbors, our unbelieving friends. John was not like the skeptics of the world. John was a believer. Understand that. John knew who Jesus was. In fact, the Bible's very clear about this. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1, notice with me for a moment. In John 1 and verses 29 through 34, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Excuse me. So John knew who Jesus was. So what was the deal with his questions? What was the deal? What was going on here in Matthew chapter 11? When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, when he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" What was going on at that day, at that hour? Perhaps John had a lapse in faith. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, and Spurgeon was a great preacher. If you read his sermons, they'll be a blessing to you. They've been a blessing to me through the years. One thing about Spurgeon is you'll notice that in his ministry, he knew some things about bouts of depression and hard times. He never suffered persecutions like some of the guys that went before him. In other words, he lived in a time of England when he didn't have to worry about going to prison for the faith and things like that. But he did have some persecutions, or rather some depressions. His wife was ill a lot and things like that, and he had some bouts of depression, all that. But anyway, I recommend reading his sermons. I recommend reading his autobiography if you get a chance. All those things. But Charles Spurgeon wrote, commenting on this, he said, "Dark thoughts may come to the bravest when pent up in a narrow cell." I don't care how strong you think you are. The reality is that it's easy to talk big and brave when you're standing on the mountaintop. When you're outside of the jail, but when the hand comes crushing down on you, when the dark clouds come rolling in, that's a different story. And I'm not meaning to disrespect John the Baptist. I respect him greatly. The reality is John the Baptist was a man just like every one of us. And perhaps he was perplexed with some difficulties in prophecy that he could not solve. Have you ever been to the point at some dark hour in your life? And if you've lived long enough, you know what I'm talking about. When the clouds have been dark, and they've been dark for a long while, and you just begin to wonder about things. And you wonder about the scriptures and how they relate to current events. Certainly John might have gotten to that point and wondered how all of these things may have all added up. Okay? Now, I don't know. But it's very possible. Hindsight is 20/20. And you and I, we sit here and we read these scriptures, and we know a lot more because we've got all 66 books. But bear in mind that John didn't have that. John didn't have that. Okay? Points that are clear to us have come about because of revelations that came after him. Okay? And we ought to thank the Lord above for that. You see, he had some advantages that we don't, and we have some advantages that he didn't have. It would have been a great blessing to walk with the Lord and to see the Lord face to face in the flesh. But on the flip side, you think about this for a minute. It would have been a great blessing to him to have had the full and complete Word of God. And we've got it. And sometimes we take that for granted, you see. Even at the time of the Great Commission, don't ever forget about this. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 17, that little church that Jesus started, Matthew 28, verse 17, the Bible, the Holy Spirit is careful to record, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I always figure that's one way we know that this is a revelation from God and not man, because if they would have written it about themselves, they would have left that part out, you see. Because we like to tell things like we're the greatest Christians ever, and we never doubt, never fear, never worry, never any of that. But some of them doubted, you see. And even by the very, very end of our Lord's ministry and right before his ascension, the disciples had questions that they just couldn't sort out and they didn't understand. And they asked him in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Acts chapter 1. In verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, they'd been with the Lord all this time. They'd walked with him. They'd talked with him. They'd been, and they still had questions. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Lord. We've been with you during these past few years, and we still were wondering, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What I'm trying to say here is it's okay to have a lapse in faith, a question that needs asked. All those things. We ask questions to sort things out because we're human. We're not like the skeptics who ask questions to try to cause doubt and fear and all those sorts of things. And John wasn't like that either. There's a difference. We should never fear asking questions. And John, whatever his purpose was to ask a question, we ought to do it. God gave us our minds to reason and to think and to consider, even to the point of asking questions. You know, Christianity doesn't require us to leave our minds at the door. When we're saved, we don't drop our minds off somewhere and forget about it. No, it's a reasonable faith. And certainly we ought to. In fact, we're to love the Lord with all our being, including our minds. We ask to learn and to grow, to understand better, to make our faith stronger. And if indeed there was a lapse in John's faith, that's why he asked. You see, he wasn't going to, if he had a lapse in faith in that dark cell, he wasn't going to sit there and be afraid and be concerned by himself. He was going to ask. And that's what he did. He asked. If that's what was going on. John was perfectly fine in asking the question. his disciples were fine with taking the question to Jesus. And we find in Matthew chapter 11 that our Lord was fine in answering the question. You see, and we can learn from all of that. You know, maybe it wasn't at all because he had a lapse in faith. And maybe he was asking for the benefit of his disciples. Okay? So let's look at this for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 11, look at the sequence of events here. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Sorry, Matthew chapter 11. Sorry, I'm looking at this all wrong. Not verse 11, but verse number 2. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" You see, there's another possibility of the reason why that this question was asked. Maybe he asked this question for the benefit, not for John, but the benefit for his disciples. Okay. This is a great example for us who are pastors, preachers, and teachers. For those of us who are parents and grandparents as well. Our chief concern in this life ought to be for those who come after us. And John had followers. But his duty wasn't to make a name for himself. He wasn't here on earth to make a following, a religion. He was here to point the way to Christ. Now, John didn't know for certain that how this was all going to pan out. He didn't know he was going to be beheaded. But he probably had a pretty good idea that this was going to be the end of his ministry. Okay? So he hears what's going on with Christ. And he sends out these disciples out to go and see for themselves. His chief concern, his main goal, if this was the reason, would be that they would be persuaded to follow Christ rather than him. Right? And as I thought about that possibility, I thought, you know, what have I done? What have you done? What have we done to make sure that those who follow us will follow Christ? Someday we'll be done in this life. What will we leave behind? What have we done to make sure? What are we doing now to make sure that they will seek and follow the Lord? Something to consider. The answer was given, though, in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 4 and 6, 4 through 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus gave the answer. The answer was given. He didn't discourage John or the disciples from asking the question. These things were not just merely intellectual exercise, not just written here as a historical account, but rather so that we may know Jesus better, depending on where we are spiritually. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus told them, said, here's what's happening. Now go and take it back. Take it back. Go tell John what you've seen, what you've heard. You see, isn't this our duty? Isn't this our duty? What we have seen and heard, we take it back to those who haven't seen, who haven't heard, those who may be wondering. John asked the question. He couldn't find the answer directly. He sent the disciples, his disciples, out. They went. Jesus answered. And then they were told to go back and take the answer back to John. What a great account we have here. Whatever the reason for the question, I'm glad it was asked. I'm glad it was asked, and I'm glad that it was recorded here for us. Because there are people who ask questions, and we don't have to know the reasons why, but we have to be willing to answer. To answer for them, so that they may know the truth of Jesus, the truth of God's word, the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. May God add a blessing to his word.